The effects of late spring planting on corn and how higher gas prices could impact the ethanol industry. This is Hoosier Ag Today's podcast for Monday, June 20th, 2022. I'm CJ Miller. Today's podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for over 135 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to find out more. A late start to planting in the spring may have caused some other problems with corn crops. Eric Pfeiffer has that story coming up. Andy Eubank reports how record high gas prices could have an impact on ethanol and the ag economy. Also, another hot and humid week lies ahead, says Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin. His farm forecast is coming up. And the grain and livestock markets are closed today for the new federal Juneteenth holiday. Bob Utterback with Utterback Marketing Services reviews Friday's markets, and he looks ahead to the direction the markets could take throughout the rest of this week. That's all next in the HAT Podcast.
The land of the free is also the home of the hardworking. What if this is the year you take your farm operation to the next level? At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we're proud to serve the people who not only work until the sun goes down, but until the job is done. With over 135 years of commitment to agriculture, we'll find the solution that's right for your operation today and tomorrow. Visit ffbt.com to learn more. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
An update on Indiana's corn and rising prices could mean falling demand for gas and ethanol. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Delayed planting this year meant seed went into warmer soils, and emergence happened at a rapid pace. Eric Pfeiffer reports on a few problems that Indiana farmers are seeing in their corn because of that.
Purdue Extension corn specialist Dan Quinn says that for the most part, Indiana corn looks pretty good. But
there's been some fields that, you know, haven't been the greatest. And a lot of those fields we can see a little bit of the sins that went on with, you know, the delayed planting. I've seen, you know, you can see the sprayer tracks. I've seen tillage passes. I've seen a little bit of sidewall compaction.
Quinn says some central Indiana and southeast Indiana farmers have also noticed sulfur deficiency in their corn.
Take some tissue samples. You know, tissue samples do a really good job for diagnosing sulfur deficiency in corn. So taking them from the good spots and the bad spots, and you can supplement those with soil samples as well. But soil samples tend to be not the best for diagnosing sulfur.
Quinn has also seen rapid growth syndrome in many fields across the state.
So you can see where, if you look across the field, you can kind of see really bright, almost translucent, kind of really light yellow leaves emerging from that corn plant. And that just means the corn plant is growing so fast that those tightly wound leaves in that whorl just can't keep up in that plant, and then as they receive sunlight. So you can actually see that, and you can actually see leaves tearing too on corn leaves this time of year, and that's just that rapid growth syndrome. So that corn is growing so fast. I'm starting to see that in quite a few fields.
Hear more from Quinn on this year's Indiana corn crop in the Purdue Crop Chat podcast. Hear it now at HoosierAgToday.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
Planting a seed is an act of faith. And even if it makes it to maturity, Mother Nature and markets determine the value, right? Not when you've got your corn and soybean checkoffs. The checkoff is like a little seed coat of protection. It's like planting a penny to grow a dollar. In fact, with investments in research, new uses, and demand creation, we've seen a $12 return to the farm for every soybean checkoff dollar invested. Check out your Indiana checkoffs at yourcheckoff.org.
Demand for gas is down, and that is affecting ethanol demand. Andy Eubank explains.
The national average gas price has topped $5 per gallon, an all-time high, but is gas demand dropping because of those prices? And what might that mean for ethanol demand? David Widmar is an economist with Agricultural Economic Insights. He says gas usage is slumping when looking over data going back to March.
We are below pre-pandemic normals. And so when we look at 2015 to 2019, sort of that as a normal range, we're running about 91% of those levels. And so we're going to start to have another conversation here around gasoline usage, gasoline consumptions, and all the implications that has for the broader U.S. economy, but also the ag economy.
The ag economy economy has some reliance on biofuels, so as gasoline demand drops, it's not a good sign for renewable fuel blending.
We have to start to wonder about that relationship between renewable fuel and energy. And so when we have this slowdown in the broader economy through less driving, less economic activity, it's going to start to convert into how many gallons of renewable fuel can we physically blend. Ethanol can be a competitive alternative, but we still have this blending problem, and it's all going to be about the number of gallons of gasoline we consume in the economy and how much can we blend. And in general, a lower amount of gasoline used means less ethanol for a potential blend.
The longer the high gas prices push demand lower, the more agriculture will be watching what it means for corn demand.
The longer it persists, the more changes in human behavior we might expect, the more attractive it might be to buy a more fuel-efficient vehicle or to maybe even consider changing in how your daily routines are. So those behaviors start to become more appealing, more desirable. And then the last piece here that we're going to have to really struggle with the next 3 to 6 months is how does this impact ultimately corn usage or maybe even soybean oil usage as we start thinking about an economy that might just be using less oil in light of these high prices.
Whitmar says the overall economy as well as the agricultural economy are at a tipping point.
We've kind of got to this $5 mark. If we start to see a back away from this, economic impacts broadly in the U.S. economy, but also maybe the impacts in total gasoline consumption and renewable energy consumed from ag products, we're going to have an impact, but it might just be a bit of a passing impact. If these high energy prices stick around and persist, I think we have to start recalibrating and readjusting our assumptions. But these disruptions can take time to work through, and that's going to create more uncertainty. And I think that's the key here. It's going to create more uncertainty for ag markets moving forward.
Widmar's website at Agricultural Economic Insights is aei.ag. I'm Andy Eubank.
And I'm CJ Miller. Who's your ag today? Timely, relevant, credible.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We're embarking on a hot week this week. Sunny, warm, humid. That's probably the biggest thing. Humidity values are going to be climbing here through the rest of today, and we're going to be very warm tomorrow and Wednesday. This is going to be almost like the heat of last week, but the thing is, even after a minor shift in winds tries to take place late in the week, we do not cool off exceptionally hard. So we are going to allow for a pop-up shower or maybe a rumble of thunder Wednesday late afternoon, evening. But by the time we get to Thursday morning, we're back to the sunny and warm weather. No major break in temperatures. Going into the weekend, a few hit-and-miss scattered showers or thunderstorms, mostly northwest Indiana for Saturday morning and midday. The rest of the state is dry. On Sunday afternoon, we see a few hit-and-miss scattered showers in east-central Indiana, then dragging southward into southern parts of the state. 30% coverage there, but that is it. And then we're back to the sunny, dry weather for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. So honestly, in our next 10 days here, we see only limited threats of precipitation. Coverage will only be about 50% of the state at best, and moisture totals are going to be mostly under a quarter of an inch. Now, if you see a little bit of outside pressure giving you above that, count yourself as lucky. But I really think that we're keeping this well below normal precipitation pattern intact right on into the last few days of this month. Thunderstorms coming together over the weekend look much stronger over parts of north and western Illinois into eastern Iowa, southern Wisconsin, but they fall apart before they get here. So that's the way our forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we know that a little extra can do a whole lot for our customers. That's why we're returning $63 million in patronage straight back to our eligible customers in Indiana this year. Does your lender do that? To learn more about our patronage program and eligibility, visit e-farmcredit.com/patronage. Patronage is a decision the Board of Directors considers and makes every year. It is not a guaranteed payment, but rather a return of our earnings paid to patronage-eligible customers of Farm Credit Mid-America according to Board resolution.
Grain and oil seed markets pushed higher on Friday, but then buckled going into the three-day holiday weekend. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Friday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. The review is brought to you by Seed Genetics Direct. If you're looking for a robust lineup of corn or soybeans, both traded and conventional, and you want to increase your yield and savings, contact Todd and Chris Jeffries, Seed Genetics Direct. Wheat was the weak side leader, with satellite images supposedly showing stolen Ukraine wheat on Russian ships headed for neighboring countries. Wheat and the soaring dollar index pushed corn lower. Turned out to be an up-and-down week. Bob Utterback, Utterback Marketing Services, weighed in the middle of Friday trade.
Well, this is a pre-holiday. The banks will be closed on Monday, so this is a long holiday weekend with a dry weather forecast in the models. And if we come in Tuesday morning, and the models are confirmed as the heat will continue, the market is going to continue to put accelerated premium and start taking on the characteristics of a 1988 or 2012 weather scare event, where basis is really exceptionally strong. The buyers that haven't got covered start to panic, and we start getting that real volatile, straight up price action, which is what the bear is waiting for. You know, the market could, and I underline the word could with an exclamation mark, could lose its mind in the next 2 weeks. If anything, further developments occur, wheat is the only negative on the landscape, because wheat harvest is right around the corner, and they're trying to get some stuff resolved in Ukraine with the Russians, with Turkey getting involved. But I don't have any hopes that the thing will get resolved effectively. And if wheat would turn around and dry weather occur and the stock market continue to sell off, I think you'll see money come from the stock market, and all three of those things would be, and gasoline continues to firm up, even though if Biden comes back from Saudi Arabia and doesn't have an effective big increase in oil prices, I mean, production, you could have a next 2 weeks to 3 weeks could be very quite active, and that would be the event that we as bears have been waiting for quite a while.
Bob Utterback at Utterback Marketing Services. His number, 800-832-1488.
Sustaining our environment through smart farming techniques has always played a role for Hoosier dairy farmers like Jill Huian and her family.
Dairy farmers recycle water on the farm an average of 3 to 5 times a day. That means modern dairy farms use 65% less water while providing plenty of clean water to hydrate our cows and run the farm. Just one way we are meeting our goal for a better environment.
Sustainability at dairy farms can be found in many other subtle ways.
Dairy cows are the best recyclers. Over 80% of their diet contains food that we as humans cannot eat. It's that diet that our dairy cows turn into the refreshing, healthy milk that we enjoy.
So why do Indiana dairy farmers do all of this?
We have a really close relationship with our community. When someone needs help, we're there to help. And a clean, safe environment is our priority. It's good for our fifth generation dairy farm and our community.
Brought to you by the American Dairy Association, Indiana. For more information, log on to winnersdrinkmilk.com.
On the Hat Farm Market Review, a look at the Friday settlements. July corn, 784.5, down 3.75. September, 737.75, down 4. And Dease corn, 4 cents lower, 731. 7.5 off on July soybeans, 1702. November finished at 1537.5, down 5.75. And wheat, the weak side leader, July, 1034.25 in Chicago, down 44 cents. June live cattle, 138.02, picking up another 27 cents. And July lean hogs, $1.42 higher, 111 even. You're up to date now on the markets, plus Indiana farm news and weather. The morning podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. For Eric Pfeiffer, CJ Miller, Ryan Martin, I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's farm network.